Hey everybody, welcome in to Discovery Community Church. You guys look beautiful this week.
Beautiful.
Could everybody stand up and praise with us? Give us a clap. Clap along with Joe. Let's go. We're really happy you're here. Praise with us. I'll praise in the valley, I'll praise on the mountain, I'll praise when I'm sure, I'll praise when I'm doubting, I'll praise when outnumbered, I'll praise when surrounded, 'cause praise is the water my enemies drown in. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I praise when I feel it, I praise when I don't. I praise 'cause I know still in control.
That's good.
'Cause my praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you know and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Welcome, Star. Everyone say welcome to Star. Good morning.
Hey, Discovery Church. Welcome. Good morning. Have a seat. I'm so glad to see you. It was a little chilly this morning, wasn't it? But it is warm in here. Happy spring. Yeah? I'm so excited it's spring. How about you guys? Yes? Yeah. Yes. So a little bit of sunshine. I'm hoping it'll break through this afternoon. Maybe a little bit of early spring gardening. I don't know. Well, I'm just so glad to see you guys. My name is Star, and I also want to welcome our live stream viewers. Let us know in the chat where you are watching us from. We'd love to just connect with you online. I'm excited to worship with you guys this morning, and I've got a couple things to tell you just to start our morning off. If you got a welcome folder when you came in, I'm going to be covering a couple things that are in here and a few things that aren't, so listen up. The first thing is the connection card, which I've got right here. If you have one, we would love for everyone to fill this out. Let us know how we can pray for you, most importantly. And if you have any questions about any of the announcements or the things that you see in here and you want more information, just write that on your connection card and somebody will connect with you. We just want to walk alongside this journey of life with you and help you out. And that's what the connection card is for. We'll gather these at the end of service. A couple other things. We have a family meeting and prayer time today, right after church, about 15 minutes after service. We will meet right here, and it's a time just to get to know what's going on at Discovery and pray over it and also look forward to some things that are happening in the future. So stick around after service. We have a really great fellowship time anyway with some food and great people, and it's a nice time just to get to know people. If you are a first-timer, there's also some good information in this worship folder for you. This insert here is a good one to take notes on, even if you're not a first-timer, guys. Come on, take notes. And you can bring it home, put it on your fridge, and be reminded of the events that are coming up. You also have a couple Easter postcards in there. One, I think there's two in there. One could be for your fridge, but we'd love for you to give away the other one, if not both, to a neighbor or a friend. Easter is such a great time to invite people to church because most people go to church on Easter and Christmas. If they're going to go, those are the times that they come. So let's make sure that people have an option, that if they want to go to church, that they have been invited to one. So there's a couple things for you in your worship folder. Next week, we have a Love Tacoma meeting. This is not in your insert, but that will be happening in room 224. And if you are not familiar with Love Tacoma, that's just our name for our group that wants to love our community locally. And Kelly Swalson will be leading that up. So come after church next week, and you can learn more about what we're doing there. Also next week is family service. So that means that all of our kiddos are in with us, worshiping with us. We're going to have some disco youth, I think, leading our service. So that's exciting. Yes? Okay. It's going to be special, I'm told. So, and we do have a toddler service, toddler class still, in case your rambunctious toddler would be happier in disco kids than in service. So that will be next week as well. So lots of cool things happening. What you can expect today, right now, we're going to keep worshiping, and then Pastor John is going to come up and continue our series called Beyond, and then we will respond with some giving back to God and some more prayer and reflection, and then, of course, a little bit of fellowship afterwards, and then our family meeting. So lots of wonderful things this morning. I'd love to open us up in prayer and just kind of quiet our hearts. Get ready to do some more worship. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you, Lord, that we can be here this morning, that we can press pause on our last week, and that we can start our new week here together. Lord, thank you for the peace that you provide. Thank you for the break from the hustle and bustle and the worries, Lord. We come with a lot on our plates. And we're just going to lay them down today at your feet. We're going to trade in our worries or our busyness or whatever's kind of on our heart right now, Lord. We're giving that to you. We'll trade it in for some peace, some joy, and some time just to worship you. So, Lord, we give you this morning. And we pray that it would bless you, Lord. Bless us. Bless our weeks. In your name, amen.
As we turn our hearts to worship and meet with the Father, trusting that he speaks and he's here and he so wants to meet with you, he delights in you. Can I ask you to think about what may be your favorite name of God? Throughout history and time and throughout the word, there's different names given. I just want you to consider that because this song is filled with different names of God. I was reading this week when Jesus was talking to Jewish leaders who, there was like an argument. He was saying, well, you don't know your own father. If you did, you'd know me. And they said, well, Abraham is our father. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. I think for me, I am has to be one of the incredible names given to God. He is beginning, he is end. I don't even know if that's referenced in this song, but that's my favorite. Would you consider that? How have you known God? He has sought after you. That's another name in scripture, the one who sought after me. It's incredible. Take a minute, just ready your heart for what God wants to say this morning. And when you're ready, stand and sing with me. This song is called Names. Let's worship the great I am together today.
You are the medicine, the only cure for everything I feel within. Redeeming what was lost and all that could have been. Oh, this is a healing kind of love. And you are the truest friend, staying through the night when I was at my end, and comforting my heart till it was light again. Oh, this is a faithful kind of love. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, you're here with me. Wonderful Counselor, the government is resting on your shoulders. And you are the final word. You alone decide when every page will turn. So I will trust your timing, I will rest secure. Oh, this is a steady kind of love. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, you're here with me. A wonderful Counselor, the government is resting on your shoulders.
And you are the
Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us. The government is resting on your shoulders.
I am too. I am too. Trust in you. Trust in you. Talk to you.
Your
just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break.
Jesus.
Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I see Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the street,
Jesus.
Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, within his presence. I speak Jesus.
Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your Jesus.
I'm going to encourage you to be seated for a moment. This is a moment we traditionally set aside in our service for a moment of prayer and a time of prayer. So when you walked in this morning, honestly, if you have a pulse, you have something that's also on your shoulders. That's just been my experience, is that most of us, we have some things. And it could be a child, it could be your spouse, it could be your mama, it could be your neighbor. It could be just this thing inside of you that's separating you from God. And we usually have the piano play for a few moments, and we invite you to make yourself, if nothing else, open to the work of God in this space. But if you have some specific things right now, like this last song was really cool. Like, as a church, like at the very core of who we are, we believe that Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone of the church. He's the cornerstone of our lives, our families, our city, the city of Tacoma, our generation. And right now, it may be a really important time for you to like speak the name of Jesus over some stuff going on in your world. So I'm going to ask you right now, just to bow with me. And again, if you're not comfortable with prayer, maybe just take a few moments. And during this time of prayer, you might just say something like this: God, I haven't talked to you for a while. I don't know what to do. Just ask you to speak. Maybe that's your prayer. But the rest of us in this room, you have a burden, you have a concern, a worry. I want you to bring that before the Father. Speak the name of Jesus right now. Right now, some of you, it is your marriage. Instead of complaining about your spouse, I just want to challenge you this morning and be like, God, would you do a miracle in this home? For some of you, it's your job. Instead of complaining, maybe just right now, God, I'm praying over my workplace. God, would you somehow turn it into a mission field for me? I've not been seeing it that way. I'm going to invite you to pray collectively with me. We're going to pray over some things right now. First, let's pray for peace in our world. Father God, there's been way too many times I've stood on this platform or other platforms, and I have grieved and I've lamented over the violence, the recklessness that we have towards human life. Father God, I pray that you would not only bring peace, but you'd raise up peacemakers. God, I pray that you'd raise up peacemakers. I pray not just globally, but locally, like in our city. I pray you'd raise up peacemakers. God, we need peacemakers in our schools right now. We need peacemakers here in the city of Tacoma. We need peacemakers, Father God, in our state of Washington. And God, we need peacemakers in Washington, D.C. God, I'm praying right now that you'd raise up peacemakers, Father. God, I pray you'd raise up peacemakers on the other side of the ocean. God, I pray that you would bring a peace. And I know, Jesus, you promised that in this world there'll be trouble. And you've warned us that even in the latter days there'll be lots of painful moments and wars, but still you've left us here as your people to pray for peace, and we do. We ask for peace, Lord. Father God, we also pray specifically for this week. Our church lost a really special friend. CJ or Bunny passed away this week, and she was such a special part of our community. She greeted people. She sat here right on my right nearly every Sunday. And God, I pray right now for her extended family and circle of friends. I pray that you'd be bringing comfort. For the next few minutes, Father, as we sit here and we open up your word, you have promised us that your word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And if this is what you say about your word, I ask that it would be true this morning that you'd speak through your word to us. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 The piano stopped. It feels stark. We talked about this earlier. Do you want to play all the way through the service? Okay. She's smiling, but she already answered me on this. I asked her earlier. I said, you want to play? She said, no way. So, that's the feeling. It's like sometimes we're like, we're just in this moment of prayer. It just ends. But I just want to encourage you. It doesn't end. It doesn't have to end right now. Some of you, while we're going to open up scripture, it's okay to keep praying. There might be some things that are still heavy on your heart. We have some people in the room that would love to pray with you. During this service or after, you know, I'm going to just highlight, Tad is walking in the back. Tad is one of our prayer warriors, and he would love to pray with you. And Terrell over here on my right, he's here. He knows he's a miracle, and he's happy to be in a journey with you. And again, when we say pray with you, we don't want to be in your business, and we're not going to secretly give you advice. We just want to be in the journey with you. So if at any point during the service you would like somebody to pray with, those are people that you could go get coffee and just be real natural. And then just sit down next to Terrell and be like, hey, what's up? And he'll know. If you say what's up to Terrell, he's going to know. Right? Is that we're in, right? He's going to know. Just pray. So anyway. And then after the service, if you want to take some time and you would like to prayer, let's not waste this moment. So I prayed earlier about CJ, or many of you knew her as Bunny, and she did pass away this week. Wasn't expected, and so it's left a pretty significant hole in a lot of people's hearts. And so, anyway, just be remembering her family and her circle of friends. So she'll be greatly missed. She's a really special lady. We're in a series called Beyond. And that's why the slides up here say beyond. Over the next few weeks, guys, I don't know if you know this, it kind of snuck up. Didn't anybody catch it? Like, Friday was, anybody know what Friday was? It's the first day of spring. And I don't know if you're ready for it, but it just snuck up. And that means, like, in 2 weeks, anybody know what happens in 2 weeks? Easter. Like, it's only a few of you knew. So, you weren't, or you're not very excited about it. So as a Jesus person, Easter or Resurrection Sunday is the most important day on our calendar. It's where we celebrate this incredible gift in our life, and that is Jesus. And so in 2 weeks, we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And what we've done is we've said, let's set aside a few weeks as we lead up to Easter to talk about Jesus. And I know every Sunday we talk about Jesus in some way, shape, or form, but we're going to drill down in these weeks and talk about, okay, like, who really is Jesus? There's a lot of memes in our world and culture. What does Scripture say who Jesus really is? Why did Jesus really come? And, I mean, it was so long ago. How does it make a difference in the life of a man or woman in 2026? And so that's what we're doing during this series, is we're talking about who Jesus is, why he came, and how it makes a difference in our life. And we're going to just focus, our key passages are all going to come from three verses in a great book in the New Testament called the Book of Hebrews. So if you have a Bible, this is like a clue, find the Book of Hebrews. And for all these weeks, we're just going to zero in on three verses. And I know it's short. There's just a few verses here, but man, it is so packed with essential, life-changing truths. And I don't think I'm being dramatic by saying life-changing. I really think that what's contained in these three verses actually does impact and change the way that a person lives. So that's what we're doing each week. We're starting, and just think of it when I say key passage, we use them as sort of a launching pad. So we'll look at a portion of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then we'll talk about how different scriptures from the beginning to end of your Bible connect with it. So just for fun, I don't know if they're ready for this in the back, but let's just read the first three verses. I don't think I told them I'm going to do this, so they may be scrambling. So let's just read all three today, and then we're going to zero in on verse 3. So in Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." So that's cool. Maybe you're already catching on, like, man, this is really packed. It's really a dense few verses in your Bible and mine. But I'm going to zero in on Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Just the first part of it this morning, it says this: "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. When I read through Hebrews 1, 1 through 3, I was so captivated. I was captivated by how much God gets you and me. I mean, that's what captivated me when I was reading those first three verses in Hebrews chapter 1, is that God gets us. You know, one of the struggles that we have as human beings, like all of us have, we collectively have this struggle, is that we have this tension inside of us where we long for the divine, and we struggle to experience the divine. Now, I have also had my share of skeptics in my life, my share of cynics, people that would maybe call themselves atheists who would push back and say, "No, I don't long for the divine." But inside, I'm polite, I listen to that, but inside I just want you to know, I think they're liars. I don't think that you can escape, as a human being, your longing for the divine. I think it comes out. Maybe, and you've heard me talk about this a little bit in the past, but the fact that you long for good is a sign that there's something more operating inside of you than simple, you know, cellular transfer of, you know, data inside your body. You're not just a biological, material creature. There's something inside of you that longs for something beyond the horizon. You long for goodness. There's something about beauty that captures your attention, that stops you in your tracks. Like most people, Friday afternoon in Tacoma were happy, not Friday morning. Did anybody notice this? Like Friday morning, we woke up like every other day for the last like 90 days. Rain and cold and bitter, right? But I don't know. I mean, they told me it was going to be like an atmospheric river through Friday. But around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, what happened? Anybody? The sun came out and people were like, "Oh, wow, we live here." And then, you know, somebody said to me in the middle of Friday, they said, "Do you know what Friday is?" I said, "I have no idea." And they said, "It's the beginning of spring." Oh, and then wasn't yesterday glorious? Like, everybody you met yesterday was like, "Hi." Right? Am I right or am I right? Like, there's something in you can say that you're just biology, but there's something inside your soul that longs for wonder and beauty. It's why you crave justice. Like, you may not even know all the laws. I don't know if anybody could know all the laws that exist. But there's something inside of you that wants righteousness. It's why we value humility. It's why we value mercy. It's why, even if you're not a Jesus person, you value forgiveness. Listen, friends, it's etched on our souls. The ancients said that we were the imago Dei. We have these cravings inside of us because we're the image bearers of God. I like how Solomon says it. He says, heaven is imprinted on our souls. He uses the word eternity. He says, eternity is pressed on the human soul. You long for it. Even the fact that you want someone to love you, the craving that you have to love and be loved is a sign that there's something beyond the horizon. And yet, as much as that is true, for many of us, we find it difficult to experience. And by the way, I mean it is difficult to experience love and being loved and peace and rest and joy and mercy. But I mean more specifically, it feels really difficult sometimes to experience God. Philosophers have called it, there's this concept that people have debated for many years. It's called divine hiddenness. It's this concept or idea that God seems hidden, and there's a debate that rages all around it. And some would argue that because God is hidden, it might mean that he doesn't exist. And some would argue that, oh, because he's hidden proves his existence. Hebrews 1:3 gives us a really strong take. Hebrews 1:3, and I think, in my opinion, most of the entire Bible has a perspective on the hiddenness of God. And that is that God is not hidden at all. That the very nature of God is unhiddenness. That God at his very core, at his very being, his heartbeat is for you and for me to experience him, to know him personally. It is God's heartbeat that you and I would know him. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, Jesus is the actual proof of the unhidden nature of God. Jesus came that you and I would actually experience God. So let's walk through this. I just mentioned that God's nature is to be unhidden. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. I did a little research on this to really try to understand what this little phrase means. And scholars tell me that the best way to translate the Greek of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 is this. The Son is the effulgence of God's glory. That's correct. Effulgence. When I saw this, I thought, that's beautiful. I mean, sometimes after a lot of bread, I feel effulgence. I get it. No, I was like some of you, like, what are you saying? And so I started digging around, like, verse, like, seriously, you're telling me the best English word is this word that I'm 55, friends. I've never heard this word in my life. And I started digging around, and I discovered that effulgence, wait, put the word glow here. Effulgence means everything that emits from the something. It's like the sun on Friday. I doubt that anybody in this room went outside and went, where is it? And looked straight into the sun. But you experienced it. You felt it. You felt the warmth of the rays, the glow of the sun. You saw the impact of, wow, my house isn't gray. It's actually blue. I didn't know that. There's this radiation happening in our world. It's amazing. There's vitamin D that I'm absorbing right now as a consequence of the sun. Hebrews 1:3 says this, that Jesus is the everything that emits from the something. And the reality is that from the very beginning of time, God has been radiating his everything to you and me. It's the beginning. If you open your Bible to the very, like I wouldn't say first page, we'll go to the second page, chapter 3. Chapter 3, it's so amazing. It's right after God creates the world. And it shows us what God is doing, how God is interacting with the world. And in chapter 3 in the book of Genesis, it says, and by the way, before I tell you what he's doing, he's going to do this in spite of Adam and Eve already screwing up. In chapter 3, it says, in the beginning of your Bible, that God walks in the garden in the cool of the day, just calling out to his creation. That's how the journey of God begins in your Bible and mine, and it only continues. God is not unhidden. God is not hidden. It's not in his nature to be hidden. He wants you and I to experience it. In the beginning of the book of Exodus, there's a guy who's on the run from the law. He's on the run from God. He's hiding in a desert. And what does God do? He says, excuse me, Moses. And he does it through a burning bush. And he draws Moses close. Moses, come close. By the way, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. And Moses experiences the unhidden nature of God so much that at the end of Moses' life, he's up on a mountain, Mount Sinai, and he just wants to be closer. And he just says, God, I want to see you. I want to see you face to face. God says, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to walk by so you can experience me. All the way through Scripture, friends, over and over and again, prophets, people like Elijah experienced God in the whisper. Beginning to end, God has been revealing himself so much so that Paul writes this in the book of Romans. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been unhidden, clearly seen, understood from what has been made so that people are, what's the words up there? Everybody, what is it? What's the words? Without excuse. It's not the nature of God to be hidden. You say, okay, preacher, why does it feel like it? Luke records in the book of Acts, I'm not going to give you the whole speech, I just want to give you a little snippet from a speech that Paul is giving. He's actually in Athens. He's got all of these Greek gods and goddesses and statues all around him, and he's giving a speech to people. And in Acts 17:27, he says, God did this so that we would seek God, if perhaps we might grope for him. Isn't that a great picture? Paul's saying, like, yeah, God gets it. It feels like we're in the dark, just groping. He goes on to say, grope him, and God wants us to find him. He goes on to say, even though he's not far from us, he's not hidden. What's true is that our experience is that he is. It feels like for most of us that he's hidden, that he's difficult to find. That effulgence thing is cool, but it is frustrating. It's cool to feel the warmth of the sun, but it's frustrating that we cannot stare into the sun itself. Why is that? Is that the sun's fault, friends? Should we be angry at the sun? Dang, sun. Dang, son, how rude of the sun to be so bright that we couldn't stare into the sun itself. Listen, the reason that you and I can't stare into the sun is because we have limits. You could write that down. We're limited by our natural characteristics and the natural consequences of our lives. I have a favorite part of our state. I'm actually blown away at the state of Washington. Anybody? A couple of you? I think we live in an amazing state. And the truth is, I'm an adventurer at heart. I've always had this long list of things I want to see and places I want to go. Anybody like that? Like, I want to see it all, you know? But a number of years ago, I think it was about 15 years ago, I was walking in the South Cascades. I was on a hike. And if you've ever been in a hike, you'll know sometimes you'll come across a tree with some wooden signs attached to the tree. And so I'm walking along in the South Cascades, and there's on this tree like three signs. One's like, hey, go this way. And one was like, go this way. And one was like, go this way. And I stood there, I remember thinking about like, I may never go that way. I wonder what's over there. And about 15 years ago, during that hike, I thought, this is silly. I could spend the rest of my life in just the South Cascades, in a little spot, and I would never get to see all the beauty and wonder of this one little spot. And so, honestly, about 15 years ago, I made a decision that I'm going to just, anytime I get to go camping, anytime I get to go hiking, anytime I get to go hunting, I'm going to stay in this little part of our state. And I want you to know there's parts of the South Cascades that at this point I know like the back of my hands. I don't need a map. There's some Forest Service roads that I could drive with my eyes closed. I know exactly where to pull off and the secret little trail to that little patch of mushrooms. Right, I know the secret spot to stop, park the truck. I walk about 100 yards, and I can call my wife. I know all the secrets about it. And what is so funny is that if I were to tell you the places that I go, inevitably this always happens. Someone will say, oh, "I love it. Have you ever gone to?" And they'll list something, and I'll say, "No." And then they'll say, "Oh. Well, and you probably have been over," and I'll be like, no. And I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, he's such a liar. He is a poser. He's one of those guys who like to get dressed up and pretend like he's out in the wilderness, but he doesn't know. And they're right. I could spend the rest of my life in just a few square miles of this great state and still not know it. So if I could spend most of my life in a few square miles of dirt on this little globe that's floating through the universe and not know it, who am I to think that I could possibly climb to some vantage point and in one moment capture or understand God himself? I am far too small. I have far too little time. God is immense and amazing. He is not hidden because of his limitations. He's hidden because of our limitations. Isaiah 40 says, who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Man, the nations are just like a drop in a bucket. God is amazing. He's beyond the limits of my human mind. And he's certainly beyond the limits of my human choices. That's the other reason why God feels hidden. Isaiah 59 says this. Let's look at this. Isaiah 59. It says, the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. You ever feel like, man, how come God doesn't just show up? Is it because he doesn't care? He doesn't see me? No, look what Isaiah says. He says, it's not that God is limited. It's not that God is hidden. It's not that the arm of the Lord is so short and he can't reach me, nor is his ear so dull that he can't hear me. Look at this. I'm sorry, I'm right in front of it all. But, and here's another word. I know we don't ever use effulgence, but we don't ever use this one very often either. But you're what? What's the word up here? Iniquities. It's your choices. It's the woman that you've become. The man that you've become. Your sins have, you see the word up here? Hidden his face from you. It's not in the nature of God to be hidden. But nevertheless, it is our experience that he's hidden. And you're thinking, nice facts, great Sunday morning. Thanks for the encouragement, John. Two more things I want to share about Hebrews chapter 1. God doesn't stop there. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that God has a response to this hiddenness problem. His response, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. As I was digging into Hebrews 1:3, I found a Greek word. The Greek word that means exact representation. I'll see if I do it right. The guy online, he says charakter. But look at it. Look at it. What does it look like to you? Character. This is actually, this Greek word is where we get the word character. In the Greek, this word literally means, do you see it up here? Stamp. You're like, stamp? No, not this kind of stamp. Like, if you wanted to print some money, if you were in Rome and you needed to print some money and make coins, you first made a stamp, a metal stamp, and then you would take that metal stamp and you'd put it on some silver, and all of a sudden little round silver things would become valuable exchanges of money. And we still use that today. Like, if you have a dollar, like I don't have an actual dollar, I have a $5 bill. If on this $5, this is just paper. But what gives it its value and significance is that there's a place that they won't let me in. There's a mint, secret place in the United States, right? Where they've created a stamp. And we can call this authentic, but the most authentic is actually the stamp at the mint where they create the $5 bills. The writer of Hebrews says there is nothing more authentic when it comes to God than Jesus himself. Jesus is fully God in the flesh. He is the authentic God walking in human flesh. John chapter 1. The true light that gives light to everyone that was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Verse 18 says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Colossians 1:15 says, the Son is the image, the stamp of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. What did God do? What did God do? His nature has never been to be hidden. However, our experience is that God feels hidden and distant. So what did God do? He came himself in flesh so that every man and woman could experience him fully. And he did this, why? Not to show off. He did this so that you could know him. Hebrews 1:3 is not just a declaration of what God did. It is an invitation to you to come out of the shadows. That's what this is. Hebrews 1:3 is an invitation to you and me to come out of the shadows, out of the hidden, into the unhidden. John 17:3 says, this is life. This is eternal life. That they would know you. The only true God. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He did this so that you and me would come out of the shadows. And did you catch it? And we read it a minute ago in John 1:12. John chapter 1 is all about how God became flesh. And we get to see the glory of God by looking at Jesus. In verse 12 in John chapter 1, it says this: all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to come out of the shadows, to become children of God. Listen, a few minutes ago I talked about the opening of your Bible in Genesis chapter 3. I talked to you about how it all starts with God walking in the garden. Remember that? Genesis 3 says, in the cool of the day. By the way, when Adam and Eve still sinned. Adam and Eve, in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve had already blown it. They blew it royally, folks. They messed it up for themselves and for everybody else in all creation. You couldn't have messed up worse. Yet in Genesis 3, in that condition, God goes walking. And I want you to know that he is still walking in the garden today. And he's calling out not the name Adam or Eve. He is calling out your name. Jordan. Pete, Kyle, Katie, Tracy, Alex, Terrell, he's inviting you out of the shadows. Why did Jesus come? Because it is the very nature of God to be unhidden. The experience, our human experience, it feels like he's hidden. Romans 3 says we all fall short of the glory of God. There is, sometimes when you hear that, it seems kind of casual, like, yeah, I fell short. Romans 3 is telling us that, no, it's not that you just made a boo-boo. It's that it does feel hidden. It feels confusing and dim and foggy, and God feels far away. It's because of this chasm. But actually, the beautiful thing is, in fact, just like a chapter and a half later in that very same book, the book of Romans, it says, but God demonstrates his love toward us in this. That while we were still sinners, while this fog and distance and confusion is still raging, Romans 5 says this, Christ died for us. He came so that you and me would come out of the shadows. I just want you to hear this morning that this is the real deal. This is why Jesus came. And it can make an incredible difference in your life. And I just don't want to gloss over that John 1:12. I don't want you to miss it. Yet to all who received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Isn't that amazing? So what that means is it means that you don't have to have it all figured out. You might still have some questions. It's a legitimate question to ask. Did he create the world in 7 days? It's a legitimate question to ask. Was there a flood? It's a legitimate question to ask. Does God hear every prayer? These are legitimate questions to ask. But don't miss this. Everything changes. The hidden becomes unhidden. The moment you make a decision, say, Jesus, I'm going to trust you. Even and through the questions. So if you've been around Discovery very often, you've heard me talk about Romans 10:13. I love Romans 10:13. It's so simple, so straightforward. It just says this, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So here's what I'm trusting this morning. I'm trusting this morning that this day was an important part of your journey in some way. For some of you, it was another step toward God. For some of you this morning, it was like, oh, this, it made sense to me. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to give you an opportunity to do something with what we've talked about. And I'm going to ask you to bow with me. Jesus did not come to be a meme, a curse word. He didn't come to start a new religion. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He came to help men and women like you and me move from the shadows into the light. And friend, the very first step in that journey is saying this, Jesus, will you save me? So I'm going to invite you right here in a high school cafeteria on March 22nd, 2026 to pray a prayer with me. Very simple. You can pray this. Jesus, will you save me? Forgive me for the man I've been and the woman that I've been. Forgive me. Come in and rescue me. This is the beginning of the transformation. This is the beginning of the move from the shadows. Jesus, I thank you very much for rescuing broken people like me. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song together. During our song, I mentioned a couple of friends. I'm at my friend Terrell right here. I'm looking also for a Tad in the room. I don't see Tad right now. Tad's in the back. So there he is, Tad. So if you want to pray with somebody during our time of worship, Tad's right there. Terrell's right up here. Please, during our time of worship, come and grab them. They would love to pray with you. After our time of worship, we are going to then have what we call our giving back to God. And we're going to do one or two other things right before we leave. So don't go anywhere.
mentioned to someone earlier that this song that's really quite new to Discovery really requires a choir. I'm just going to say it. So that's all of you. So what I'm saying is, if you're familiar with this song, it's about going into the very throne room of a holy God. That's what Jesus did. He just opened that up for all of us. Would you stand and sing about those barriers dropping because God revealed himself and his son? Let's celebrate that with this song today. Thank you for speaking to us today, God. Reminding us that you're not hidden. Even now, everywhere we look outside is a reminder that you're redeeming everything. Us, even this earth. You are not hidden. Help us to not miss out on your glory. In Jesus' name.
Jesus is in this room. Here right now, making this place I stand holy ground, holy ground. Ooh. Your spirit moves and breathes all around. Saints and the elders in glorious song, and the praises they sing never seem to get old. I'll stay here forever singing, holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, Lord of inside your throne room before you.
seated just for a moment. We're going to begin passing our baskets for our giving back to God time. This is often called an offering time. We're going to encourage you to put your communication cards in there. I didn't talk much about that. There's a little card, and we love to be in your corner with you. So if you'd like to have some prayer, you'd like to get connected, use that card. If this goes past you and you're like, oh, I didn't get a chance, there's a little box right here on this table that says connection cards and offerings, so you can also use that box on the way out. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes this morning, and we are going to invite a couple of people up here. I'm going to invite David and Kathy Carlson to come join me. Yeah, that'd be great. A few years ago, during a baptism service, David was there for baptism service, I'm not sure if he was planning on it or not, but he came, maybe he came to be supportive, and then after that service, he was like,
trying to just get out.
He was trying to get out.
Yep. My mission was get in, get out unscathed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
New church and everything.
And so, I think a lot of us know exactly what you're talking about. So he's just trying to get in and get out. And the truth is that they planted their lives here for the last probably almost 3 years. And they've been a really important part of our church. And I'm not going to take it all from them. This church has been an important part of their journey. And God has recently stirred, he's been stirring for some time, a calling in their life. And so I'm going to have them share just briefly about their calling and their next steps. And today we're going to pray for them, and we're going to be sending them out. So would you guys just share just briefly? Here, I'll step over here out of the way.
So that one of the songs earlier had a line in it about being redeemed or redemption. And this, for us, really, I consider to be a disco redemption story, because when I came in that Sunday, and then when we came back together, we were kind of dragging our faith along behind us, disenchanted, done with community, done with church, and all of that. And for us to come back here was an invitation to re-engage with that. And it's just something that I want to say that you guys do so well. We felt welcomed. We felt that you're genuine. Your faith, it's real. It's not just the Sunday morning smiles, right? It's something that we felt like, hey, maybe there is hope for this community of Christ thing that we had kind of given up on. So we're super grateful for that. And Kath's going to talk a little bit about what's next for us.
Yeah, I would say that we just kind of have been basking in the effulgence of God's glory over you guys. Yeah.
Well, she uses that word all the time.
And it's kind of ripened the fruit for us. We were groping. I appreciate that John used that verse from Acts. It's been really kind of one that I've been holding on to for the past couple years. So much has changed in our life since we walked through these doors. David, we're different people. He had a high-pressure job he's stepped away from, and we just kind of have been like, okay, God, what is this next season bringing? And John and the rest of the team were so gracious to let me serve with them this past year, and it has been just an absolute gift and pleasure. So this winter has been a bit of a desert. We've gone through some hard things with our family, and David had some major surgery. But the time, as hard as it was, gave us some space to finally hear and do some discerning what next steps are. So we live in Port Orchard. I don't know if you guys know that, and we have a huge family. So we felt God saying, it's time to come home. Home to the community that we kind of have been neglecting a little bit, our local community. We know no one in Port Orchard. We're in the shadows. Our family needs a little tending, and we have some property that he has been gracious to give us, and we are developing a homestead and a place for a retreat, kind of a rustic retreat center for people to come and step away and spend some time with God. So we're developing some cabins, we're developing some, you know, gardens and animals and tending that, tending our family and our community. And also both our spiritual directors and formational coaches, so we'll be doing a lot of that too. So I did make up some, if you're interested, a little letter to you and kind of a what does this all look like and a way to connect with us, because we really feel like this is our home. You are our people. We're the fruit of your love and the effulgence of God going back to Kitsap County. So we will be back. We are here. Our hearts are here. we're just being sent for this, and so we'll be back, and we want to stay in touch. And so if you want to get newsletters from us, you can subscribe there, and we'll keep you posted. What's
Excellent.
Going on?
Well, hold on. I'll take it, too. I'm going to invite you to stand, and this is our way as a community of faith of saying that we stand with you. And so we're going to pray together for David and Kathy, and we also just symbolically want to say we are grateful to be your people. And we may not see you as often, but when we do, we'll be blessed. But even way across the bridge, in the hinterlands, we're grateful that God has sent you there. So we're going to pray for you right now. Would you just join me, family? Jesus, thank you so much for David and Kathy. It is, though it's our prayer every week, it is also it's amazing that you use space like this, a family like this, to reinvigorate, to restore, and to breathe new life. And it's been a blessing to watch you stir not just new life, but a calling in David and Kathy. And our prayer, God, is that their home and that piece of property would be a city on a hill that wouldn't be hidden, because you're not hidden, God. And I pray, Father, that as David and Kathy step out of the shadows in Port Orchard and into the lives of neighbors and friends, that their home, that their life, their family would bear much fruit for you in this new calling, new season in their life. In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Give them a round of applause.
I just have a couple housekeeping things for you. We would love to just invite you to stick around for the next few minutes, hang out, and then in about 15 minutes, we're going to have a family meeting right here, and we get to hear a little bit more from the Carlsons. We get to hear a little bit about what God has done at Discovery, what he is doing, and what he will be doing, and we get to pray for our church. So we invite you to stick around. With that in mind, if you do help us tear down, that's always great, but we want to keep these middle chairs for our family meeting. So if you're one of those people that likes to kick it into gear, and we have some of those, and start stacking chairs, you can do the wings, and we can always take down pipe and drape while we wait for the family meeting to start. Otherwise, we just pray that you have a blessed week. Thanks for worshiping with us.